Beyond Their Means. And we have with us the director, Isaki La Cuesta, producers Alejandro Miranda and Rafa Portela, the actors and actresses, Julián Villagrán, Albert Pla, Iván Telefunken, Emma Suárez, Carmen Machi, José Coronado, and Sergi López. And they're eagerly waiting for your questions. First question, please. Before I forget, we've also got Jordi Comillas, the producer, and Isa Campo. It's a film with a lot of cooperation. There's a lot of people from the crew that are producers, because we're all producers. And I would also like to say that 20 years ago, I came to cover the festival for the first time as a journalist. There you go. What do you say now? Most of you hadn't even been born yet. Having said that, that's it. Let's start. Yes, I'd like to ask Isaki, how was the process to direct the film? Because I think it was done over certain periods of time and stopped and started, and it was a very uninterested way the actors participated. This guerrilla type approach, how was it? Well, it was a film that I thought it was an urgent film, and I thought that I wanted to make a portrait of the current day Spain, and we had to do it very quickly. And if we received subsidies and waited for the answer to the TVs, and we were expecting a lot of money, we would never make the film. So therefore, we started back to front. I wrote it, we started to shoot it immediately. And the search of money was parallel to the shooting of the film. That brings about some uncertainty, but it allows us to get together a group of actors like this, because in any other way it would have been impossible. And it was fabulous. We have the complicity of all of these actors and the rest that you've seen in the film and the entire crew. What we've done is to invest money and work, and now when we start to see some audience, we can share these hypothetical profits amongst all the people that are here today and the rest of the actors. Yes? Didn't you see that you weren't receiving in your current account? Didn't you see that you were in the red in your current account? Hi, good morning. A couple of questions. The first, as Mr. Telefunken, his character was very funny. I didn't know who he was. I never met him. I don't even know what your voice is. Is that your real voice, or did you imitate it? And it made me laugh, because there's a certain chapter in The Simpsons in which Homer is put in a madhouse, and there's a character that imitates Michael Jackson and has a similar voice. I don't know whether it's up to me or if it's a similar voice. And as he's in a madhouse, Albert Pla, Albert Pla has participated. I'd like to know how you thought about him and that section and the monologue that you have. Now, I remember it said it was written by him, if I'm not mistaken. I'd like to know how did you let him do that, or did you lose it? How did you let him more than, not in the sense that I didn't like it, okay? I'm a big fan of Albert Pla. Thank you very much for being here. Well, Ivan can start to answer. Most of the half of the budget was spent in helium, on helium, so I could achieve that voice. The Simpsons is only my, it's just a question that I think it has to do something with The Simpsons. Okay, no, the film started because we were writing a comedy with Ivan and Alberto. And we got them together and we started to write sketches which we thought were very funny. And we showed it to Rafa, who was the producer, and he said it's a horrible script. And then he said, well, okay, well, let's get together, let's shoot a few sketches. When they see the sketches, they will understand it's funny. And I said, well, why don't we get, instead of doing sketches, why don't we make a film? And so we started a film with Ivan and Albert. We started to get things, one thing led to another, and this is where we are today. To the extent that then Rafa realized that the film was worthwhile investing his money into and his work. And Albert, well, Albert formed part of the project from the beginning. I felt like having him participate in the film. And then the monologue, when he read the script, and he said, last week, I just wrote something which is very similar to what you've said. And so all of a sudden, we put him in the film. And in the credits, I've said that he did it because to recognize that it's his text. It's not the way taking out possible being taken to court or anything, but it's Albert. No, I accompany him, and I agree with him. It's just to remember that the talent of that monologue is his, and I hope it's nominated to neither to the best song nor the best actor this year, as he deserves, or should be, better said, as he deserves to be. In the middle, there's a question. The first time we shot with Albert, there was a dramatic scene with Emma, and I cut the sequence, and Albert was crying. I said, well, no, you're out of focus. No, yeah, but I can do it when I want to. And I said, no, we've done it wrong. And we started to shoot, and he could cry. We cut, he talked about football, and we shot again, and he started to cry again. He's got this ability to do something. Then if you want, he can also get goosebumps if he wants to. Whenever he moves his ears, he's a fantastic actor. He's a supernatural actor. You're not the only one on this panel that can do this. Hi, good morning. Well, I had a great time with the film, but the music, now that you've talked about the music, that moment and the cars, did you think about the music? Is it good or is it bad? Okay, no, it made me laugh and made me high almost. Well, the soundtrack was with Albert and Judith, who's over here, and Judy Farris, and it was their idea. Albert could probably tell us better. Well, it occurred to me, I said, let's put La Marco aquí. And it occurred to me, I said, let's put the song of Marco and the Coche Chocones, which is, yes, that occurred to me as well. A very horrible moment and cool at the same time. We freakies like it. Yes, it fits in perfectly, doesn't it? Over there. Hi, good morning. Congratulations for the film. I liked it very much, and plus I think it's enormously necessary, as you said at the beginning. Just something curious. Why are there very few women characters? And that's what I miss. Not even as... I'm always asked the same, and I think there must be some homosexual side to my cinema. Very strange. I always make films, and only the men get undressed. But the next film... Emma is the protagonist in the new film, and we'll make a film focused upon the feminine world. But initially, then the men will get undressed again, because this is something that I can't avoid. But I think it can be interesting. Yes, of course. But sometimes I think it's perhaps the scripts are written by Yessa, and it's some sort of heterosexual side of his. And that concerns me more than the other homosexual side of mine. Any further questions, please? And then, of course, between Carmen and Emma and Ariadna, they fill up, and Barbara Lenny as well. Angela Molina, jeez, big word. That's not bad, isn't it? Plenty of women in the cast. Hi, good morning. Isaki, I'm over here. The characters in your film who get themselves organized to leave the crisis, save us from this economic crisis. These are characters that are in a psychiatric ward. Where's the madness, inside or outside society? Well, you're asking me with all of these people, why ask me all the questions? I'm less indicated to be able to answer that question. No, the madness is all over the place. It's everywhere. How to show the best part of side of Spain by showing it in a lunatic asylum. I'm repeating the question, the answers all the time, but any newspaper or any news program is much crazier than our film. And that's why it was good shooting it in sections, because we realized that what we'd made was not enough. Right, for example, when we shot the dialogues of Jose Coronado and Raul Arevalo, the day after the transcriptions of something corrupt, which were even stupid and even worse, and that's real life. So therefore we had to write in order to make us achieve the same level of fiscal amnesty or tax amnesty and Jordi Vilches. We shot this 2 years ago, and it seems that it was something that was out of fashion, but Jordi Pujol, someone comes along, and that always brings into the news. We had friends, we told the story, no, it's very situational, it's very now, Spain 2013, 2020. Well, we may have changed a lot, but I don't think that things are going to change too much. It's a film that will probably be very, in a couple of centuries, it'll find its natural audience, I'm sure. Distributors are waiting for that new century to come. Any further questions, please? Yes. A question for Isaac and perhaps for some of the actors, and what any actor wanted to answer is, why from a satirical standpoint, gore, the situation of the country, and not from a dramatic standpoint, and any actor would like to answer, why get involved into this project? What makes you, because you're sick and tired, or what has made you participate in this film? Well, initially, when the film occurred to me, I left Albert's place of writing that humor series, and I thought, well, let's do a dramatic, which is going to be called Austerity, and there's two stations later, I said, wow, horrible, not a dramatic film. And then I also believe that Spain is horrible, and the only way to tell you about the story is through that situation. And like Valle-Inclán said, it's just a normal mirror that society is deformed completely. So therefore, 2 years making a dramatic film, I was horrible, but I thought comedy fed itself better vis-a-vis this country we live in. And I said, well, I'm going to do a dramatic with Ivan and Albert. How can you do a dramatic? It was better to do it in as a comedy. And it's a very good question so that you can answer. How did you get involved in this tangle of a film? Well, it's impossible to say to know. To this fantastic tangle of a film, because I think directly, well, at least in my case, my first meeting was with Isaki, and he was going to tell me what had already been shot. As I got in touch with you, the film, you'd already been shooting for a year, because this has been 2 years, the whole making of the film. And I thought it was so fascinating that to miss this chance of forming part of this, I would felt very proud, and plus that he'd thought about me. And I also believe that it's necessary, and it's necessary that we make and contribute just by pure pleasure of shooting who we were with Isaki, with what he wanted to tell in the story, and allow us to get into his hands. I thought it was the best thing that could happen to me at that time, and I don't know. And then to find time, everything, the production design, it was very attractive. It was quite unique and very creative at the same time. So therefore, I don't think, and I think that even if there are colleagues who are not there, who are going to be there, because they couldn't fit in it into their agendas, I think there's no actor, no colleague that would have been able to say no to this project. It would have been madness more than the madness of the film itself. So I think it's quite inevitable to participate. That's quite personal, obviously. And I'm happy, and plus the result, especially knowing that you don't know you're even shooting, because the feeling was you didn't even know what you're doing. And that being lost in the abyss, I thought it was fantastic, at least in my case. And I was shooting with Imanol and Luis Tosar. Well, I said, well, what are we doing here? I don't know. Well, you do, you go ahead. And then there's something quite magical. Okay, there's a structure, there's a base, foundations which are very solid, but then he lets you go, and to you go ahead and to lose it and go to the extreme of barbaric scenes, and that was a fabulous game, it was fun. And I thought it was never going to be premiered, the truth is, the film, because that was decisive in order for you to say yes, no, because I said, how much have we got left over? There's still got... we've still got a lot of scenes to shoot, and I thought, well, this film had been finished, and I said, no, it was just a small scene. It was just a fabulous journey for all of us that are there and all of those people that may see it, because, I don't know, it's all positive. And somebody else, I don't know what else to say. I'm finished. Well, Like Carmen has said, it's been, I've been very proud to form part of this project, a project that due to the normal channels, it would be impossible to get together, all of the actors and actresses that Isaki has gotten together through conventional means would have been practically impossible. So therefore, I think Isaki is absolutely, he's a creator, he transgresses, he's got demonstrated more than anyone what he can manage to achieve. And with this film, I think it was a film which was absolutely very difficult, very risky, a film made in only in 2 years and stopping and starting, And he convinced us because of his knowledge, his creativity, his education, and because he's contagious because of his love for cinema. And to make films of this type and this category, the only way was to do it as we were doing it, as we have done it. And then the project is a marvelous project. I think it's fantastic. And by using making people smiles and even madness, and that he shows a reality which is a current and is in force and is going to continue for quite a few more years, this madness in which we live in. And that's, and to be able to be with all of these monsters of great actors amongst us, and just like Carmen says, it was impossible to say no. Where do we have to put the money in? Well, you didn't ask me for money, but otherwise I would have waited. But you still got time to invest in the film. We've got some ideas. Well, that's it. 2 years, the truth is, it seems a very long process, but at the end of the day, it's like the normal time of any film. They said to write the script in May 2012, and it's premiered now. But instead of looking for money, which is what you spend 3 years for, we've been shooting without stop over this period of 2 years. Well, yes, we have stopped occasionally, yes. Sergi, why did you turn up to the project? Isaki, I've known him when I debuted 12 years ago. I coincided that he was doing Craven versus Craven, and we've coincided in many festivals. And what drew my attention, and I thought the way that he's evolved, I was hanging out to work with him. When he asked me before the meeting, I saw Los Pasos Dobles, which I loved, and I didn't even think about it. And then, and plus, with this cast of actors, I couldn't say no. Another thing that I liked is that all of the people there are characters that are all on the verge. And that is to say, to see Angela, Malina, Sacristán, Carmen, all of us with a point of almost histrionic and almost madness in each character. This is something that in another film, you'd start to talk with the actor, say, no, my character should do this, that, and the other. No, there was those questions didn't arise. We knew what we were going to do. It was simply a question of trusting the director, and I think that we all worked quite well. But I think, but at least for me, my character, he loses the plot, and like Carmen says, hey, you improvise, talk, and live it, create your character, but then controlling it quite well because he knows exactly what he wants. But he made us fall in love, and you did a good job, guy. Dude, that's yes. Yes, let's talk about money later. Now, another thing that I like, because the film is a portrait of Spain, I wanted it to have a bit of a portrait of Spanish cinema, to get together different generations so they could talk together of actors, that say, and to summarize as well, synthesize, that's to say, people, well, Albert Pla, Manuel Arenas, Arias, and Coronado, I don't see there's any difference between, I think that we're all omnivorous, that we do different things at the and everything fitted in quite well, different generations of actors. With Julián, quite curiously, in the script, the character of Alberto was called Alberto. Iván was called Iván as well. Julián was called Julio because I thought of him from the outset. And then in a moment of paranoid moment, I thought it looks too much like Albert, and the international market in Korea, which is a very big potential market there, they wouldn't know it was him. So therefore, it had to be Julián. And so therefore, what he did is put in a mustache, to wear a mustache so you wouldn't make a mistake, which was very intelligent for us to do. Not that intelligent, because they've mistaken me with Arevalo in the festival. Sergi, how did you get come on board? Well, they're just the same as everyone. Thank you. No, because of Isaki, because he's a funny guy, right? When he talked about the project, I knew Albert was there, but not every week. They were calling up, hey, this other guy is now going to participate. So the list got longer and longer. No, it's because of Isaki. Isaki, he's funny. He's got the talent of communicating and to call you up. Hey, listen, when you can, come around here, give a say. That's what he's got. That makes you fall in love. Well, simple to make, more or less. Like, I thought it was funny. Sergio was saying, hey, with this script of Killer Mother, what's all this about? If Albert had written it, I would have understood. But you, what are you saying? That's true. That was quite... We can't, to burn your mother. How did that happen? Well, you know, it was pretty incredible. Maternity was another issue that was in the background, yeah. You haven't said anything. I participated because of interests. You know, we participated uninterestedly. For me, the interest was quite evident to work with Isaki and to share with Albert a few scenes, to spend a summer in Albert's house between mothers and children, and to share with all of these actors and all of those that couldn't come along that were calling up that they wanted to participate in Isaki La Cuesta's film. The film was finished and there wasn't enough roles. I know many actors who wanted to collaborate with Isaki and there weren't enough characters left, so the casting could have been much more extensive. But it was important. We didn't want cameos for a second. We wanted roles with a certain entity so that they could have time to develop. And vis-a-vis the rest, I met Isaki a few years back in Las Palmas Film Festival, and he came up to me with Isa Campo, the scriptwriter of this film, and a fantastic couple, which I thought was quite tender. They offered me to participate in a script that they were writing, film that they were going to make, and I thought, well, that's cool. And 12 years went by. We've got the photo of March 2006, and we started to shoot it in November this year. Well, in 2000, and then all of a sudden, Dying Beyond Their Means was written. I think he's a very creative director, very pure in the way. I'm fascinated by the film. I think it's got a humor that reminds me of, it's happened to you, of Kubrick's film, very subversive and intelligent humor. And I think it's a comedy which is hilarious, completely different to what is usually done, because you always do comedies that are quite obvious and quite typical. And I think that this is a story which is completely different. It's a director with an infinite amount of talent, and I've been able to work with him in La Próxima Piel or El Deshielo. I think we're going to be making two films in one, with Sergi as well. Yes, I'd like to shoot with all of them again, but slowly but surely, I'll manage to do it, I think. Albert was already there beforehand. You don't have to say why. Or if you consider it's worthwhile you saying why you participated. And Ivan, how did you decide to participate? I have no idea what I'm doing here. I haven't seen the film finished. You've seen it. Am I still in the film? Didn't they delete me or edit me out? I thought it was fun to do it, and then laughing is very healthy for your heart. Why not? So how could I say no? The panda suits are Ivan's at the beginning, Albert Ivan, and I had five panda suits. In fact, we had four. There's one that Alba made. There's five panda suits, and they've got a group with Don Simón and Telefunk, and they play music with panda suits on, and they play tonight, yes. They're playing tonight in that group. Hi again. The film is outside the competition. What do you think about that? I'm not sure. If you'd have been in the competition, all of a sudden you'd won it, like Los Pasos Dobles. And then another question, what was it like to write the script? Whether you took out a lot, or did you want to put even more beastly things about the economic crisis, or whether you edited it out or censored it? In the competition, I didn't want to be in the the first thing I said to Rebordinos, I didn't want to compete with this film, as I thought it was much happier, and we'd be much more relaxed, and I've just confirmed that I was right. It's been a bit different. And first of all, the cinema's got nothing to do with competitions. If one can, it can compete better in life. Cinema's got nothing Olympic, an Olympic side to it. And then it's a festa, fun and happy-go-lucky film that makes no sense to compete at all. And what did you say? Oh, the script. Well, we wrote it very quickly. It was like vomiting it out in a hospital, for example. I mean, the anger was there. It was latent anger. And that's where how we wrote everything. And now when you say, wow, geez, that what you said was great. And I said, who improvised it? So therefore, the other day, someone said to me, I thought I said it and it wasn't Albert. And I told Issa, I said, no, I wrote it. I said, well, okay, well, in any case, I sign everything and I assume the responsibility in case we're taken to court for any reason. But the best sentences and dialogues belong to the actors, as it always occurs. And there's a lot of things that we deleted and edited out. The film lasted for 2.5 hours or 2 hours and 40 minutes. There were sequences, characters and actors and things. In fact, I would like to do a trailer with everything that I've been not included. I say, if that's not in the film, imagine what is in the film. We might do that. There's a question over here on the left. Hi, over here. Good morning, Javier Suarez from Canarias Siete. I've just arrived. I'm not too sure whether the question has been asked. Excuse me if that's true. But yesterday we saw two films that deal with the frustration that's coming back to society in Relatos Salvajes, or Wild Tales, and Dying Beyond Their Means. I'm going to ask the first question, and that's for José Coronado. Playing a role which is so small and so large and so big, that means that you've got no type of ego and that what you like is the story. And then for any of the rest of the actors, what does this film mean when it's already been edited? Actors and actors and actors appear, half of the Spanish cinema, which is a luxury for all of them to have participated in this film. Well, we always say, I agree with what people say, there's no small role, and I think that this film is a sum of all of the different roles signed by Master Izaki. And so therefore, you've got to know what you're going to, or what you're getting into. Sometimes you get a leading role which you might feel less like portraying than the character that took 3 or 4 days but allows you to be in this project. And that's the answer, that is to say. This wasn't a competition to see who's more protagonist, and the protagonist is the film per se, with the signature of the director. And the rest of us, humbly and quite with a lot of pride, without any ego at all, because otherwise we'd be assholes, to participate and put our grain of sand into it in order to make the project or make the film. What else did you say? No, to any the actors that once, Emma, for example, I'm looking at, was a story which I liked very much, and especially the relationship with Albert Plat in the film. I think in a very small, you transmit a lot in a short period of time. After having seen the film, you feel part of a project which is so different, I think. The film is completely different, and not for all audiences, but a film that whoever likes cinema, we're always going to find something in the film. Yes, I think in the 3 or 4 year old children, the rest of the audience, I'm sure, will like it. They will be able to understand it. I trust that it's a film which is necessary because it's a film which is fun and it makes you laugh. And at this time, we need to laugh, I think. I'm not too sure whether it's a film that causes or is bothersome or harms anyone. I think we're making films because we enjoy it and we like it. And that's a song, isn't it? And I feel very thankful for having participated in the film. For me, I'm very proud to have formed part of this cast and this crew, and to have worked in the film and to be here today. It's true that we were thinking that we were never going to stop shooting. It's a pity that we've stopped shooting. Now, we'll make the second part or the sequel with the success in the box office. Any further questions, please? Can you tell Rafa and Alejandro, you could say something as co-producers, how you got involved to spend your money in this film? I would like to add to the words that you said at the beginning. I want to thank Spanish Televisión Española to participate in the film. They came along with us from the beginning. They liked the film. They believed in it. And it's been a luxury to be able to have them involved. And that's something that I would wanted to add, because I think it's very important that a public TV channel like we have can backs us up and supports us in a fun comedy and a film like this, which has a lot of quality. And without them, it would be very difficult. Without their participation, it would be very difficult to make. Rafa, would you like to add anything? Any further questions? No further questions? Well, thank you very much to all of you.